Terror on Every Side, Volume 2, As Good as It Gets. Written by Mark Morgan. Read by Chris Morgan. Chapter 1. News from Israel. September 622 BC, the 18th year of King Josiah. I was 21 years old when the letter arrived. It was the most exciting letter I ever received. Written in my father's untidy scrawl, it had obviously been sent in the joy of discovery, and his happiness showed in every word. The book of the law of God had been found. Perhaps the scroll had been hidden in the temple by a devoted priest during the dark and dangerous days of King Manasseh, or maybe it had rested unseen from earlier times. Whatever secrecy may have veiled its original concealment, its discovery will become a thing of legend that can never be forgotten. In fact, it could be the most important thing ever found in Israel. And my father himself found it. Here is how it happened. Having pursued the worship of God tirelessly from the age of 16, Josiah has finally turned his attention to the temple of Yahweh. You see, in response to Josiah's dedication to Yahweh, more and more people had begun to make offerings and donations for the temple and for the Levites, and at some stage the idea of refurbishing the temple had taken hold of the nation. The worn and damaged stones were to be replaced, the tarnished and corroded metalwork attended to, and the rotting timbers renewed. Bags of money and other offerings were being left in pots and cups in many places around the temple. Josiah had directed that the gatekeepers should collect all the money and valuable gifts together and deliver them to his administrators for safekeeping until the work could be organized, but nobody knew quite what to do. Such an overflowing generosity for the work of the temple had not been seen in the lifetime of any of the priests or Levites. Everyone agreed that the money should be collected in a more organized way, but how? Some of the old priests had heard stories of the events in the time of King Joash, more than 200 years before, when the temple was last refurbished in any significant way. At that time, a hole had been bored in the top of a wooden chest so that the offerings of worshippers could be easily dropped in. As the priests described the wooden chest, my father suddenly remembered seeing such a chest in one of the crowded storerooms of the temple many years before, during a short-lived attempt to free up some extra space in the temple. Storerooms always fill up, and the side rooms of the temple were no exception. My father took a torch and made his way with some Levites to the storeroom in which he had seen the chest. Opening the heavy wooden door, they could see, in the flickering light of the torch, items stacked from floor to ceiling. Packed tightly together, they barely left room to open the door. Obviously, there had initially been narrow spaces between ordered stacks, but over time these too had filled up. It took quite a while to find the chest, hidden as it was several cubits away from the door against the left wall. Clearly it was very strong, since it had a pile more than 4 cubits high of unwanted, but much too useful to throw out, articles sitting on top of it. During the process of discovery, the storeroom disgorged a steady stream of items, and by the time the chest had been safely retrieved, the corridor outside was littered with thousands of artifacts, most of which would not have been actually used in worship for more than a century. Finally, the chest was dragged from the room, and the process of restacking all of the displaced articles began. My father, however, began to examine his newly discovered prize. On the top, the chest had a board across the back, and the lid had projections which hooked under this board so that it could not be removed if a single fastener was in place at the front of the chest. This fastener held down the front of the lid, and the projections hooked under the board at the rear so that less honest visitors could not easily help themselves to the contents of the chest. A slot in the lid had allowed the generous to contribute as they desired, and, no doubt, a satisfying jingle rewarded the contributors. Once the fastener was removed, the lid could easily be lifted and completely removed to give easy access to the contents of the chest. This ancient chest was just what was needed for collecting the money given by worshippers in the temple, so my father opened the chest and removed the lid. The chest was empty, except for a cloth lying at the bottom. For some reason, he ran his hand under the top board at the back of the chest, the board which normally held the lid in place, and felt something unexpected. It seemed to be a large piece of wood with a square cross-section attached to the underside of the top board. Running his fingers from one end to the other, however, he found that there was a small gap between the square piece of wood and the side of the chest at one end. Not only that, but when he put his finger into the gap, he could feel a hole inside that square section, a hole to which he could feel no end. His interest had been aroused, so he picked up one of the scattered items on the floor, it was a metal lampstand, and started to gently tap the puzzling piece of wood. Sure enough, it sounded slightly hollow. And sometimes, when he tapped it, the fascinating lump of wood seemed almost to move a little. By this time the flicker of interest had become a fire of fascination for my father, and he had the chest carried outside so that he could examine it more carefully in the daylight. Once outside, he continued his quest for understanding, and found that if he grasped the hollow-seeming piece of wood and tried to wobble it, he could indeed move it very slightly, but none of his efforts seemed to achieve any greater freedom of movement. He tried tapping with the candlestick at the same time as trying to move the piece of wood backwards and forwards. Suddenly, there was a gentle thud as a small piece of wood dropped to the bottom of the chest, and the intriguing section of timber was able to move significantly. It still could not be removed, but it would move backwards and forwards, and even a little sideways at times. It took my father a few minutes of methodical testing before suddenly the entire piece of wood came off in his hand, and he felt its full weight, which was surprisingly heavy. Easing it out of the chest, he immediately looked at the open end and saw a cloth-wrapped object filling a circular hole in the wood. Tipping the object into his hand, he put down the heavy square section and began to unwrap the cloth. It was a linen cloth which seemed very old and a little stiff and dry, so my father unwrapped it very slowly and gently until the last layer came away, leaving a large scroll resting in his hand. The skin of the scroll was darkened on the outside and had a look of great age, and the leather thong which held it closed also showed evidence of great age and frequent use at some time in the past. Clearly, however, it was many years since the thong had last been untied, and now it resisted any attempts to untie it. Finally, my father managed to loosen it enough to slide it gingerly off the end of the scroll, but these effects of age were a warning to be very careful with the scroll itself. Eagerly, but ever so gently, my father started to unroll the outer layers. By this time there were a few Levites and priests watching, and the excitement was almost tangible as the treasure was uncovered. The first words were revealed, written in an old-fashioned script, which my father read out, slowly and carefully, to the listeners. "These are the words that Moses spoke to all Israel beyond the Jordan in the wilderness, in the Arabah opposite Suf, between Paran and Tophel, Laban, Hazaroth, and Dizahab. It is 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. In the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses spoke to the people of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment to them." This is the end of the free sample of Terror on Every Side, Volume 2, As Good as It Gets. To order a copy, please visit www.bibletales.online.